back tonight to the book of Job. We thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. This again would be our midweek service, but normally we gather in the house of God. And we look forward to being able to gather in the Lord's house again on the Lord's day to come, and then of course in the midweek service next week. And tonight we're coming again to this book of Job. Last week we were in the opening few verses, the opening five verses. And tonight we're going to read from verse 6 of Job chapter 1. And let me encourage you to have the word of God before you and to follow along in reading Job chapter 1 and reading at the verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were ploughing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. We'll end the reading there, knowing that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now we're just going to pause for a moment and pray and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the Almighty God. And we thank thee that Satan cannot move against the child of God without thy permission. And we know that when thou dost permit such a happening, that it will be for thy glory. and for our good in the end. We know that thou art the one who worketh all things after the counsel of thine own will. We pray that thou would help us to learn even the solemn and important lessons, even from this study in the book of Job this evening. And we pray that we might be like Job in our character. We might have that patient endurance, that we might submit even to the afflictions of life, that we might have the right perspective on the things that we do have, and that we might be those that always worship thee. So come and fill me afresh with thy Spirit. Speak to my heart through thy word, and speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So the wise man Solomon was moved by God to write in Proverbs 27, verse 1. Often we apply those words to those that are unconverted, but they remind us of how quickly the circumstances of life can change, even for the child of God. We have to make plans in life, but we should always make them subject to the will of God, conscious that even those plans that we make may not work out just in the way that we expect. James, in his letter in the New Testament, in chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, he addressed those who have plans to go into a certain city and continue there for a year, buying and selling and getting gain. And he said to them, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And then he said, wrote this, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now in the experience of Job, how quickly and unexpectedly life changed. We have noted the last time that Job was a man who certainly was blessed. He was blessed spiritually. He was a child of God. He enjoyed close fellowship with God. And he was blessed in many other ways. He had a large family. He was a man who had wealth, a prospering business. And yet in one day of his life, so much changed. So much was taken from him. In this opening chapter of the book, we are given, even in the verses we have read tonight, an insight into that which we might say was going on behind the scenes. Something that Job was unaware of. He was being targeted by Satan, the great enemy of the child of God. And although this fact was unknown to Job, it was certainly known to God. And God, in his infinite wisdom, and in his ways which are so far above ours, in his ways which are so past finding out, God permitted certain things to happen to Job. To prove Satan wrong, to bring glory obviously to God's name, and to bring Job even closer to the Lord. And tonight, just for a little time, we want to focus in upon the attacks of Satan upon Job. And I want us to begin tonight by considering the activity of Satan. Because here in verse 6 of Job chapter 1, where we began our reading, we're reading about a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. This would obviously be a reference to the angels, of whom we read in Hebrews 1 and 14 that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But we read of something maybe strange on the surface because we read of Satan coming among them. One commentator said that just as there was a Judas among the apostles, so there is a devil among the angels. And we know that Satan, along with the other fallen angels, they were made by God, but they fell from that esteem when they were made. They kept not their first esteem. And the scene before us reveals that in his activity, Satan is accountable to God. Because you will find in verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" The Lord was asking Satan a question about his activity. Not because the Lord did not know what Satan was doing, but to show that Satan is accountable to God. "Whence comest thou?" And Satan's answer was, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Now, I'm sure you can think of a verse in the New Testament that is very similar to what we're reading here. We're reading about Satan answering God and saying that he'd been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And you will no doubt remember that Peter, in his first letter, in 1 Peter 5 and 8, he sounded out a warning to the people of God. He wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." Now in the verse 8 of Job chapter 1, the Lord had a further question for Satan. Again, making Satan accountable. And the question in verse 8 was, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And then the Lord commanded Job by saying, "There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And it's clear from Satan's answer that he had been considering Job. And so we learn that the activity of Satan is to go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He targets the people of God. Now that fact is not to make us afraid, because our God is much greater than Satan. But it is to cause us, as Peter put it, to be sober and to be vigilant. James, in his letter in chapter 4, verse 7, says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." John, in his first letter, in 1 John 2 and 14, was able to write to God's people, "And ye have overcome the wicked one." The Lord Jesus spoke to Simon Peter in Luke 22 and 31, and he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee." So that which would make us afraid to think that Satan is targeting us also causes us to remember that the Lord is praying for us. That he calls us through his word to resist the devil, that he might flee from us. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, he wrote this, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us." And then he said, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." We're not ignorant of the plans and purposes of the devil, because God reveals them to us in his word. So Satan, in his activity, was targeting Job. You know, we can say that in his activity that the devil also targets the unseen. Because if you remember in the parable of the sower, in Luke 8 verse 12, the Lord Jesus teaches us, "Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." How then we need to pray against the activity of Satan. And as we do so, we're mindful, and we're taught indeed in Job 1, that the activity of the devil is restrained by God. So, we have thought there a little about the activity of Satan. And that brings us then to a second thought. I want us to think about the accusation of Satan. Because here in Job 1, when we get to verse 9 and read on to verse 11, in response to the questions
of the Lord to Satan, Satan made an unfounded accusation against Job. God had said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And the accusation, the charge that Satan made was that Job only feared or reverenced or followed God because of how God had prospered him. And he made the accusation that if God took away these temporal blessings even from Job, of course Job was blessed spiritually, those blessings would not be taken from him, but if God took away the possessions that he had and so on, well then Job would curse God to his face. That's the charge, the accusation that Satan was making. You'll see that in verse 9. Satan answers the Lord and he says, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" There was scorn in that question. There was skepticism. Verse 10, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath, and every say, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." In other words, Satan was saying, well, why would Job not fear you? You think of all these things you blessed him with. And here's the accusation, the charge in verse 11, "But put forth thine hand now and touch or smite all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy feet." Alongside this accusation, Satan was challenging God to smite Job and all that he hath. And Satan seemed to be convinced that Job would turn his back on God if these temporal blessings were taken away. You know, Satan is described in Revelation 12 and 10 as the accuser of our brethren. In Zechariah 3 verses 1 and 2, you will read about Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus. And you will read then of Satan standing at his right hand to resist him, or to be an adversary to him, to accuse him. And the Lord rebuked Satan for this. Now in response to this accusation, the Lord in verse 12 of Job chapter 1 permitted Satan to move against Job within certain bounds, putting all of Job's possessions in the power of Satan, but saying to Satan, "Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." Satan quickly went forth from the presence of the Lord to move against Job. He couldn't move against Job until God permitted him. And we can be sure that when God permitted him to move against Job, it was going to be for the glory of God and for the good of Job in the long run. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. God was going to prove to Satan that Job would not curse him when certain things were taken from him. Let us then be in no doubt that Satan is the accuser. And he'll accuse us, even in our hearts and minds, as well as we've read about him accusing the brethren before God. When Satan accuses us, let us take comfort from the words that we read in Romans 8, in the verses 33 and 34, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So, we have thought about the activity of Satan. We have thought about the accusation of Satan. Let's think then in the third place about the affliction from Satan. Because here in Job 1, from verse 13 right down to the verse 19, we have the details of the terrible afflictions which Job suffered at the hands of Satan in one day. Satan used wicked men and nature to afflict Job. And these afflictions came in close succession, as you read down the verses there. You read of the servant coming and telling him that as the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, the Sabaeans came and stole them away and killed the other servants of Job that were looking after them at the edge of the sword. Then we read of a servant coming and telling Job how fire had fallen from heaven, probably lightning causing fire. And the sheep and the servants who were tending them were burned up and consumed. Then another servant came and told them about the Chaldeans falling upon the camels, taking them away, and again killing the servants. And then there came the one who told Job about a great wind coming from the wilderness, smiting the house where all of Job's sons and daughters were gathered, causing it to fall upon them, and they were all tragically taken away in there. How cruel Satan is. How determined Satan is to get God's people to turn their backs on God when affliction comes. Job's response to this severe affliction was most honoring to God. Keeping in mind, of course, that Job did not have the insight we have been given as to why these afflictions came. In the final few verses of the chapter, verses 20, 21, and 22, we discover Job, of course, did grieve. He was human. He had suffered terrible loss. How painful it must have been, but he worshipped. He submitted to all that had happened. He acknowledged that all that he had, the Lord had given to him. And now that the Lord had taken these things from him, he still wept. Or praise the Lord. He proclaimed he had brought nothing into this world at his birth, and he would take nothing away when death would come. And the record, the word of God, declares that in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a testimony. And as we conclude our message tonight, in this we're pointed to Christ. Christ whose life was taken from him for our salvation. Christ who endured the cruel death of the cross, being forsaken by his Father for a time. But he submitted. In the Garden of Gethsemane he said, not my will, but thine be done. May we, even tonight, pray to be conformed to the image of our Savior. There is a hymn that says, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. When we think of Job's affliction, we're reminded of the psalmist that said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Thank you for listening. I trust you'll take time, even now, in your own home, to spend a season in prayer, praying for yourself, your own needs, for the needs of our congregation, for the needs of the wider work of God, the needs of our land, and pray even concerning the meetings of the Lord's day to come, and the will of the Lord will be able to gather in the house of God again.